Ladies and gentlemen, you have waited all week.
Yeah, Boogie Page. Throwing it down for things BMX is ready. I know I am. Attack the ATB Airways. Let's kick it. All things BMX. It's a BMX show. Unlike the rest, if we need some info, they got the best. Like and subscribe, kick back and relax. And it's all things BMX. It's a BMX show. Unlike the rest, if we need some info, they got the best. So like and subscribe, kick back and relax. All things BMX are streaming to you. So post up on your couch, screencast your YouTube. It's gonna be fun, it will be a blast. You gotta do much, but kick back and relax. They come into you live from a studio, or they might be at the track, man, you never know. So don't go anywhere when my rhymes are done, cause the show's just starting, let's have some fun. I said it's all thanks BMX, it's a BMX show. Unlike the rest, if you need some info, they got the best. So like and subscribe, kick back and relax. I said it's all thanks BMX, it's a BMX show. Unlike the rest, if you need some info, they got the best. So like and subscribe, kick back and relax. All things BMX got the boogeyman's back, so I wrote them this track to send some love back. JT, Melissa, Chris, and Paul, DJ Damon, kinda get to entertain y'all. And I wonder who they'll have on the show as a guest. I bet someone good who's gonna impress. Guess I will just have to wait and see. Let's get the show going and start the party. Said it's all thanks BMX, it's a BMX show. Unlike the rest, if you need some info, they got the best. Like and subscribe, get back with me. Said it's all thanks BMX, it's a BMX show. Unlike the rest, if you need some info, they got the best. Like and subscribe, get back and relax.
Welcome into the All Things BMX show. We hope you guys are ready for show 153. We're going to go open forum with Brian Fell this evening. He is the owner of Mega Design and Branded Pop-Ups, and he's one of the cherished sponsors of our show. He's going to be joining us on the Danger Snack satellite feed, and if you guys haven't checked out Danger Snacks, make sure you get over there and use the discount code. What is that discount code, Chris? We'll put the link in the chat. Make sure you guys.
Hey, Justin, what's with Danger Snacks? What's the difference?
The difference with Danger Snacks is the difference between dragging ass racing or hauling ass, or even in the middle of the day and you need a little pick me up. Yep. On a real topic here, I want to take a moment and recognize a couple heroes that we lost this past week: Antonio Bellavista and Tom Arnsdorf. Ride in heaven, you guys.
Yeah, yeah. Thinking about their families and friends right now. So
yeah.
Rough
week in the BMX world.
Make sure we said something about that.
Our opening song is brought to you by Boogeyman himself. Make sure you check him out over on Spotify. He's putting down some new tracks. And you guys, don't forget, you can support the show by sending stars during the show and Facebook right at the bottom of the chat. You can just tap on there and send the stars over to us, or you can go over to our Buy Me a Coffee page. All your donations go right back into the equipment here at the studio. Our studio is brought to you by our good friends over at DeSoto BMX. If you guys haven't raced under the big top, you guys are missing out. They got a lot of, pretty big events happening there this summer. Make sure you check it out. And the chat that you guys are very busy in already is brought to you by our good friends at BMX Rocks Photography. The chat question for this evening, it's a good one.
Yeah, I like that one.
I know. Who is your favorite USA BMX national announcer? I like that.
So get in there. Who's your favorite?
Yeah. And our showcase is brought to you by Answer BMX. Newsmakers brought to you by 110 Nutrition. And Melissa's world-famous trivia. How are you going, Melissa?
I'm doing okay.
All right. Brought to you by Bombshell Racing System. And Damon has the night off, but he's always brought to you guys by Hotshot BMX Racing. And birthday shout-outs are brought to you by On Two Wheels. Only 24 names this evening.
Are you kidding me?
No. Only 24.
Oh, my gosh.
The show opening is brought to you by the good people at Gate 9 Number Plates. Chris, you want to let them know where they can watch and listen?
Hey, so make sure you check out Mega Design Group, who would be Brian Fell, who you're going to want to listen to here in just a minute. He sponsors our live streaming version of the show. And then our podcast version of the show, which will be uploaded as soon as we're done over here, is sponsored by Die Job Apparel. So if you're looking for any type of branding, you want your name on one of these cool little cups or something like that, get a hold of Sean over at Die Job Apparel, and he'll take care of you.
All right. Thanks, Chris. And with that, we're going to welcome in Brian. How's it going?
What's happening?
Well,
what's
happening? First off, Brian, thanks for jumping in. We were going to have Tom Ritz in, but his flight got delayed. He'll be jumping in next week from Bogota. But thanks for jumping in. And we're going to do a little open forum. So you guys in the chat, if you got topics you want to talk about, we are going to talk about them this evening. But first, we're going to have Brian give us a little update on the Florida State race. And we're going to talk a little MTBSX and some exciting things that Brian has going on.
You know, if they're going to put something in the chat, maybe they should put a question mark at the front of it so that it stands out as a something they want to talk about.
Put a middle finger up there.
Oh, something. Okay. That was just a thought. I mean, I just thought of it right now. I didn't.
A little emocon they could put up like that.
Something. That's a good idea.
It draws a little attention to it that, hey, you know, it's not just, you know, chit-chatting back and forth. It's like, hey, you know, how do I get a Mega Design pop-up? You know, something, whatever.
All right.
Hey, I wanted to tell you, I got an urn story.
All right.
Came down to my house after one of the hurricanes, and he was staying with me for a little while. And the first couple of days, I mean, he came down like without a place to stay, and there really wasn't places to stay. And we got home and we put gas in the generator, and at night you got to chain your generator. It will chain it up at night and then bring it in when you go to work during the day, because somebody will take off with it.
Oh, geez.
And in the morning, Tom got up and he was late. And he hustled and he hauled ass to work and he forgot to unhook the generator and he just started dragging our generator down the street.
Oh no.
And I was just like, oh, luckily it's, I mean, it was like what, a scene out of the movie, like where the cord's going, you know, like I was in the kitchen and then the cord came in through the door and I saw the cord, like the slack going, and then all of a sudden everything was gone. And I was like, oh, dude. And he realized what he had done. And, oh, luckily it still worked, though. Oh,
that's awesome.
You chained it to the car.
You don't know dark until you've been in a hurricane. There's no power.
Right.
That sun is dark.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, and every little noise, you're like, what's happening?
I did forget on the intro. We are going to check in with Nick Jones at 8:30, and at 9 o'clock, we're going to check in with Josh Long from Waterford Oaks. Nick's the TO over at Cape Coral.
We'll
do a quick check in with them. Sorry about that, Brian.
Awesome.
No, I'm good.
So, how's the Florida State series been so far?
Man, it's been awesome. You know, like the vibe has been good. There hasn't been any drama that I know of. You know, everybody's having a good time. The moto count is high. There's a lot of fans there, a lot of kids. I mean, a lot of activity. You know, sometimes you go to a race and it's flat, but these races aren't flat. You know, there's always something going on.
Yeah. About how many motos are you getting?
Like 230, like 228 on Saturday.
And that's like
awesome. It drops to like 219, I think, or something around there on Sunday.
That's somewhere still in that neighborhood. Unbelievable, man.
It's good. They're good races, you know, and I mean, and they're not like empty motos either. I don't know what the exact rider count is, but I can tell you the races are full.
Yeah, you're not doing total points in half the motos.
No.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Okay. That's cool stuff, man. I like seeing that. I'm kind of curious to see how Michigan's going to do this summer.
I think we're going to have I think that all the state series are going to do really good.
Okay.
Because I think there's still going to be a big growth in the nationals all the time. There's be good numbers,
right?
But I think there's a lot more people getting into the sport. You see the numbers, and that's why we're reaching out to Josh. But you're seeing all the open houses,
yes.
And I think there's just going to be a lot more people doing locals too, you know. Mm-hmm. And then you have your nationals too. But I feel the state series are going to be big this year all over.
Yeah, you know I don't know.
If they follow the Florida series, all it is, it's just the old NBL series.
Mm-hmm.
if they just follow that, and then nobody wants to go to a track for like a 20 moto or a 50 moto like qualifier SCR.
Right.
If you get everybody going to all of them, you know, then you got a little group, and it grows from there. Yeah. You know, because it's more than just going to the race. It's more than what you do during the day. It's going out to eat with your buddies. It's hanging out in between motos. You know, it's the community aspect that really thrives and makes it bigger.
Okay.
And I got to tell you, I think that's what Florida has going for it, is it's got a good community atmosphere.
So let's expand on that for a second. So how many rounds are there in the Florida State Series?
I think
seven.
Six or seven plus the championship.
Okay. So not every track gets – I'm doing this for people not in Florida or that are not familiar with the series.
Florida has I want to say, 16 tracks.
Right.
Somewhere around there. And they split the first series, the first reboot on the SCR series, the tracks got qualifiers. If you didn't get one, you got one the next year. You're right. Guaranteed to get one the next year, and they just flip flop back and forth. And then okay. They kind of trade out a little bit if they have to because of scheduling or hurricanes or what have right. you.
They all tracks work together out. And yeah. make sure everybody's taken care of.
Right. They have to, if they have to reschedule, they reschedule, you know, so it's not such a big deal.
And then the final that rotates also, well, correct?
The good part is if your track doesn't get a qualifier, you still get money.
Oh, really?
They still give them some money.
Oh, like a stipend or something.
Yeah. Just like a, hey, sorry, you didn't get a qualifier this year, but here's some. Okay. And then the next year they swap and it, you go round and round they go.
It is basically the NBL State Series.
It's the same thing. Yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to poo-poo on anybody, but when I went to a meeting in Orlando, they pulled out a brochure that I printed in like 1998 that I did in my dad's print shop. I was like, oh my God, where did you get that at? And they were like, we have our ways. You know, I mean, I hadn't seen it in 20 years, you know, and there's one of them. So, yeah. I mean, and it's nothing new, and it's nothing against anybody now. It's just that state series works well.
Yeah.
Well, it's nothing against USA BMX's current SCR program in other states. We are just fortunate also enough to have enough tracks to be able to do something like that.
Right. So not every track gets one. They alternate year to year, and then the final also alternates every year.
Yeah, well, it goes between Orlando and St. Cloud.
Okay. Because that's kind of what center of the state type of thing?
It's centrally located, correct.
Okay. All right. So that's how that works, and I think part of the premise of that is you don't have 16 tracks all with state races, and you're having, just for conversation's sake, say 20 motos at each one. Now you've only got seven of them, so you're getting, what'd you say, 220 motos?
Yeah, 230 and 220 on Sunday, about.
Yeah, so you're getting a big group of people. I mean, it's basically a mini national.
Well, the four of them I did, you were done early and, mm-hmm. you know, well, you know, Brian and I, we had time to, you know, go back, shower, change, hang out. And then you could go get dinner at a real dinner time.
Right.
And eat and then make it back and still make a cannonball run to Best Buy to get a HDMI cable to watch Supercross.
Exactly. Make it happen, Captain.
Right?
This Best Buy was by Carol Baskin's Tiger Refuge.
Oh, gee.
The really? Whole time I'm driving, I see the thing. It says Carol Baskin's Tiger Refuge. And all I hear is Carol effing Baskin. But they're you know, they're done by what, 2 o'clock on Saturdays, right? 2-3 o'clock somewhere in there.
I'd say like 4 o'clock.
Is it okay? Maybe I'm getting it mixed up with Sundays.
Dude, that's not shabby. I mean, at 200 plus motos.
You're right, because they got practice on Saturday. That's why.
Right.
And
but they run a they have a great system. They are polished. They're a well-oiled machine. And that's the other part of it. You know, I mean, you go to these a race or something, and these tracks that are notorious for starting late. You know, like no matter what happens, they're always late. And those are the tracks that people don't necessarily want to go to. You know, because you know you're going to be late. You know you got something to do afterwards. You know, or what have you. You know,
you just want to hang with your friends, go out to dinner.
Yeah, exactly. Late dinner. There you go.
Yeah. No, it's a cool thing. So any of you states out there that, you know, you're not familiar with this, just check out, was it SSA?
Yeah, that's right.
Florida SSA, Sunshine State.
No. The SSA is...
Oh, that is no more, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah, right. It's sunshinestatebmx.com.
Okay.
You say that other one, Alice is going to send an ass whooping up here satellite feed.
I'm already on her bad side. I got to straighten up, man.
So, Brian, Petey Peters wants to know, what was the MCS run for winning the team series at the old SSA series?
I think we won like 8 years in a row.
Nice.
Before we finally just stopped. It might have been seven, because we quit running the state series because people weren't entering because we were going to win.
Ah.
So I mean, that's not being conceited. It was just
what was happening.
It's fact.
we're old school, man. We had six riders on our team, and they're all from Florida. We're all going to the state qualifier. We're going to put a team sheet in.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, you know, we filled out a 15-person roster, you know, to cover state and national. It was the same guys. And talk about good times. That was like the best times.
Oh, I heard about it.
Especially the championships those years. Those got a little out of hand.
Yeah.
People waking up in the pool. I heard it first.
Waking up for the award ceremony at 10:30 and it started at 10. And you have to present awards to people.
Sweet.
Oh, that could be a little rough.
So
coming in hot.
I want to ask this. I see that too. I want to get over to you before we call Nick. Well, you know what? I'm going to put this question out. We'll jump over to Melissa for the chat check-in. Because I know Alice is in here, Nick's in here in the chat too, and yourself is. If a state was like, hey, I want to, you know, I'd like to know how you guys got it done. And like if a track or a state was going to try it, you know, what would be some advice to, you know, try to get the tracks on board to do something like that? We'll do that right after we jump over to Melissa, and she's going to do her chat check-in brought to you by BMX Rocks.
Yeah, welcome to the show tonight, everybody. We're going to say hi to Rick Carter, Damon Tucson on his night offs checking in. Sean Gifford's with us. Noah Robinson's also tuning in. We appreciate that. Matt Weck is with us. Martin Kennard calling in from Florida. As you mentioned, Nick Jones and Jill, his wife, are also tuning in. Petey Peters asked a question earlier. He's with us. Let's see. Bonnie Huddlin. Her favorite is Greg Harrison. That's her favorite announcer. Another vote for Greg Harrison from Justin. Let's see. Yeah. Nick Jones says that he can't pick between Greg or Grindle. Loves them both. Hi to Tony Stillinger. He's with us. He says Greg Harrison's his favorite. Rick Carter said you guys are all wrong. Mike Redman and Jim Riley are hands down his fave. Let's see. Robert Cardoza's tuning in over on YouTube. Alice Bixler is with us. She was giving some details. She was checking the facts as you guys were going through. So I think you got it all right except for the SSA thing.
Sorry, Alan.
Yeah, here it's a new listener, relatively new listener, I think. I'm going to call out Mr. Darren McDonald. He says that his favorite is a race caller from down under called Alex Bainey from Western Sydney BMX Club. He says, sorry, no, not from, we're not from the USA scene. Well, we're glad you're here regardless. Sure. He says, you guys rocks BMX style. So thanks for listening, Darren. We appreciate you.
Australia.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
You know, it's tomorrow there too.
Don't do that.
Don't mess Justin up.
Darren can correct me, but I'm pretty sure it's mid-morning there tomorrow.
Yeah, isn't it like their lunch break? Because we called.
Something like that.
Can you send me the lotto tickets, Darren? The lottery today.
Numbers. You know what else?
It works that way.
About that with Australia is when it's winter here, it is summer there.
Right.
So like Christmas time, it's like 80 degrees and sunny, and they're going to the beach.
Well, it's kind of like Florida.
I never knew that until a couple of years ago.
The world's from cold in Adelaide.
Oh, I bet.
So.
Few more shout outs. Scott Foster's tuning in. Thanks. David Dortona, welcome to the land. He's just landed out in LAX. Yep. Out traveling the California scene this weekend, I think.
He's headed over to the Dirty Fest, I think, this weekend.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think he is. Let's see. Anthony Birchy says he's from Cowtown BMX, Fort Worth, Texas. We're glad you're with us. And I don't know about that, Damon. Jim Bosco says that, did he mean Grindle? Or is he said Grinder.
I think he meant Grindle.
Probably Grindle.
That's what I'm wondering, too. Grindle. Yeah.
It probably spell checked it or something.
And then Alice is.
Isn't Grinder something else?
Yeah. We'll leave that one alone.
Well, right. So I'm kind of like, do I need to spam that guy? Is that a bot after me? Or I don't know. Jim, you're going to have to clarify a little bit because not sure.
Yeah.
So if anybody's got questions as we go through the show, just put them in the chat. And Petey, thank you for listening and using the question mark. I appreciated that.
You know what we should do also in the chat? Anybody that wants to have us interview Alice Bixler should say yes, chat, because we've been trying to get her forever.
And Alice, we could call you. You wouldn't have to be on video.
Yep, we can do that too.
There are options.
All right. So before we checked in, I wanted to ask. Go ahead.
Sorry, I sometimes forget the microphone is right in front of me. I just had to laugh because Rick.
He's on a roll.
Put in the chat, free Jason Crouch.
Free Jason Crouch.
If anybody follows No Holds Bar, you know who that is.
It's a hot topic.
Anyways, it's a buzz topic.
For sure.
Sure.
Anyway, sorry.
Good. Thank you. And thanks to BMX Rocks for sponsoring the chat. You know what? You want to bring Nick on and we can ask that question to Nick too? Anybody?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
Of course. I don't know.
Wait, what was the question? I forgot.
It was before we jumped over. We said, if a state was going to try to do this, what would be like some advice? Because I know Alice was in there and Nick's part of the
He's part of the board. Crew that puts on the state series?
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Yeah. One second. I'll get them pulled up.
I'm sure you could direct message some of these folks and they'd be more than happy to get you the info.
I'm also just going to, I'll wait till Nick gets on.
What up?
How's it going, buddy?
Wonderful. How are you doing?
Pretty good. We have Nick Jones on the phone right now, and thank you for joining the show. Appreciate it, man.
He's track operator Cape Coral BMX and team manager J&R Bicycles.
And
yes, sir.
Him and Justin shop in the same closet. You can't see Nick Jones right now, but he has the same t-shirt on that.
How did you know that?
I'm going to show you how I know that. Him and Justin.
This is true.
Him and Justin are twinning.
Wait,
put it on my camera.
Yep, this is true.
I can't see it very well, can you?
How come I can't see you guys? I'm just a phone call tonight. That's all good.
Not just a phone call.
There's technical limitations to this whole thing.
All right, fair enough.
Hey, we wanted to check in real quick and. ask. We were talking about how the state series was going. I'm sure you heard because you've been following along. And more importantly, how's the state team series going for you guys?
Well, state series is fire right now. This is the biggest turnout that we have had in quite a long time. It's the biggest turnout that we've been having since my family's been involved in BMX racing. And I mean, the moto counts are just unreal. The racing is fantastic. I try and tell people all the time that there are riders in Florida who are NAG riders, but don't compete at nationals. They just do the state series. So sometimes we'll have like kids from out of state who are NAG riders will come and race or whatever, and they get smoked and they can't figure out why, you know, because they've never seen these kids before at any of the races, and they have no idea what's about to happen when they get here. But so it has been awesome this year. State team competition is going great. Right now our team is sitting in second place behind Full Tilt, but it will just come down to the championship like it always does. They're ahead of us by only a couple of points. So whoever wins the state final, just like every other year, us or Full Tilt for the past few years, is going to be the state champion. And then on the trophy team side, my other team, Power FX, is currently sitting in first place. So I don't know when the last time a trophy in the money team Jesse Gonzalez manages my Power FX team, but like I said, I can't remember when kind of like one brand won them both. I don't know, Brian Fell, maybe you had that back in the day if you guys did that. I don't know, but I know it's been quite some time. So that would be rad if we did that, JNR and Power FX. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, but back then there was always like they had like money and trophy, and some of the smaller teams had like a roster in both, but nothing competitive.
But I've won with Power FX. I've won both money team and trophy, but I've never won it both at the same time. I've never been fortunate enough to have both of my teams, you know, win both. So if that happens this year, I'll probably cry.
It'll be a big party.
And back to Nick's point about the riders being so good in Florida and they don't race nationals. That's what USA BMX is concerned about. If they roll out this kind of program across the board, they don't want people to get hung up in state like they do in Florida.
So I think that, having said that, I think that you know maybe in Florida you have that. But at state rate or at national races and even gold cups, you know, Florida still shows out. So, with a lot of states, at least in my opinion, that have a lot fewer tracks, I don't think that you'll have that happen just because they don't have a lot of tracks. I actually also think that states that have far fewer tracks should mimic what Florida does as far as the state championship series. The way I see, I mean, the more tracks that you have, scheduling and all of the dynamics in running a state season becomes, at least in my opinion, more cumbersome.
Yes.
And so if you had a state, you know, that only had like four tracks, five tracks, six tracks, you could run every one of those tracks every single year. There, you wouldn't have tracks alternating and taking races off or any of those things. You would hit those tracks, you know, every year, Saturday and Sunday. It could only make the BMX racing experience better, in my opinion. So yeah. I think, like I said, states with fewer tracks would benefit far greater than the ones like California and Florida, to be honest with you.
So you're saying make a weekend out of it, race Saturday and Sunday at the same track.
Absolutely. Like if you're going, you know, if I'm living in Connecticut, you know, they're doing it this year, mimicking our series. If I'm living in Connecticut and I'm only going to one or two tracks out of the year, because that's all the USA BMX you know, State Series requires, right? So you can go to Rock and all that. If I'm a true BMX racer and I'm all in, you tell me what kid is not going to want to race Saturday and Sunday.
Right.
Right.
Well, plus you're traveling to that track anyways. Right. You know, like here in Michigan, you know, if you want to hit them all, like we'd have to go to Traverse City, which from here is about a 4-hour drive roughly.
And then you got to.
Right.
And then you're only there to race on Sunday. Most of the time they're on Sundays.
Yeah.
And then you got a 4+ hour drive back home on Sunday afternoon, evening.
Right. I mean, I'd rather much rather make a weekend out of it. That's just me. Yeah. I mean, right. Not everybody might feel the same way. But
once upon a time, Nationals used to be like on the East Coast, NBL Nationals would be at one track on Saturday and another track on Sunday.
Now that sounds awful.
And it was the worst. And our State Series was the same way.
Oh my God.
I can remember Cannonball running it from Jacksonville to Daytona or Daytona to Jacksonville, one of the two. And it sucks because if your riders make the mains, you have to stay. And the people right. that don't make the mains get in their cars and leave, and they're like, they get a better spot for the next track. And then somebody got bright and said, hey, why don't we have two races at one spot? And then that's how it evolved into this. And I absolutely agree, you know, and that's kind of what I'm saying. And what you were saying before about like Michigan having five, well, that's what they do now is how every track has a qualifier.
Well, we got,
that's what it is now, but it's only one day deal.
Well, we've got nine tracks. So we've got we try to juggle them. And when you slide in a couple gold cups, then you've got tracks that will, you know, schedule double points. To Nick's point, like, it becomes a nightmare. And with our season, you know, being short because of the weather, I mean, it's like, you know, sometimes you're walking on a real skinny line on if a certain race gets rained out, if it'll even be able to get rerun because of the window of time we have to even get the state championship race in. So it gets it where as setting it up with something like we're talking about right now opens the whole summer up more because it's like a less is more, like you guys were saying, those weekends become more important, but they also open up other weekends. So other tracks can do other events, you know, multi-point races and your gold cup,
right? Yeah.
But when you do a 2-day event, you know, now you're having an event.
Exactly.
Not just the race.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And track operators think about this. You get 2 days of concessions. You get 2 days, you know, camping. You get, you know, it's more revenue coming into your track, entry fee, all that stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
So this Florida series, I mean, we call it the Florida State Series now. And, you know, it's run for us, you know, the nuts and bolts are run for us by USA BMX now. But this entire series that we have isn't new to us in Florida. This is the SSA. That's exactly what it is. All we did was change the name of it so that, I mean, that organization doesn't run anymore. But this whole entire series with, you know, locals being included was all started by Alice Bixler and the SSA series. I mean, she perfected it down to a T with, you know, their board at the time until she stopped doing it. And, you know, for us in Florida, everybody was just so used to it, just made sense that we would continue doing it because we liked it this way. So, I mean, as much as we all like to say that, hey, this is what we're doing in Florida, this and with the moto counts that we're having, and, you know, it's a big talk within the BMX community, it's not anything new to the people in Florida. We've always been doing this. Mm-hmm. Now, technically, we didn't crown our state champion this way. We still had SCRs at the time that the SSA ran. However, all of us in Florida considered the SSA winner the actual state champion.
Right.
You know.
Nick, can you expand on how the locals are embedded into the state series? Because this is the part where when Nick explained this to me, you know, put a track operator hat on, and I'm like, this is beneficial for all the tracks for the whole season.
Track operators, listen up.
So with our locals, the way that it works is the way our point system is broken down. If we'll just do an expert rider because the math is the easiest, right? If you're an expert rider, you can get 200 points from your qualifiers as your max out score and 200 points from locals is your max out score from locals. So your locals become just as important as the qualifiers, because not only do they require, in order to get a year-end ranking, that you race 8 locals, you have to race 8 of them. However, we will take your best 10. So your best 10 locals for an expert would be 20 points you win for winning a local race. If you win 10 of those, that's 200 points. Now we throw in some extra bonus races, 1 point for every local that you do over 10 with a max of 6. So the best score that you can get as an expert rider is 406 points, right?
So you're required to do a minimum of 8.
You have to do 8.
Okay, got it.
Have to. I just wanted to clarify. If you want a year-end ranking in Florida.
Okay.
And they have to be Florida locals. So you can't come in, like a lot of people will be like, oh, we have people from out of state coming in. Yeah, but if they want a year-end ranking, they would have to have done locals in Florida. They can't do them back home, you know, in right. Pennsylvania. They got to be done here.
And how many state qualifiers do they need with the locals?
So you only have to do 3 qualifiers, but they'll take your best 5.
Okay.
So that's where you get – yeah, so 5 qualifiers – a qualifier is double, so it's worth 40 points. So if you maxed out on that, that's 200 points. Huh. So the locals become extremely important. That's why our local scene, you know, in Florida is not just people showing up. It's actual legit racing. Like, the kids want to do well. All the way up until this past weekend, kids were trying to better their scores. You know, if they knew that they had a bunch of second places, they're not just coming up showing up to race the local. They're coming to win it because they want those extra points.
Okay. So you're not having any pump races and all that junk going on. Racing.
It happens, but it's rare. It's really rare.
You've got locals where it's not total points. Like, there's legit classes and they're going for it.
That's cool, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And when did we do the MTBSX? Brian, was it 2 years ago? Was it 2 years ago or a year ago?
I think a year ago.
Okay, well, Nick was down there too, but that was the weekend that it was the final weekend for any bonus points. And holy moly, like, people would come up and ask, like, are you going to go race here? Are you going to go race there? They're like figuring out where to go.
Oh, like, trying to set up.
Yeah, you know, like, what? Are you going to go race? You going to go to Punta Gorda? Are you going to go over here? Are you going to go there? Like, wanting to know where you were going to go race. So if you would beat them, then they would go to the other track.
Oh, they want to know where you're going, man. So they can hit the other track.
I just pulled off the track. I didn't even. One of the races, I actually pulled up in the second turn and took a selfie with Nick because I'm like, these dudes are out for blood, and I am not getting in the way of them.
Right. You didn't have a dog in the fight,
nope.
Right? Like, you were just there for trophy of the day.
Yep. I think it was the second to last day you could earn points, man. I'm like, no, I'm good. You guys go win.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah. But it pushes everyone down. And those months I was down there, you could see it, man. It pushes all the riders to just get locals, you know, because they're worth more than just district points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that I like all this. I'm liking it.
Well, Nick,
we have one kid in Florida that did. Now, don't get me wrong. This is abnormal, but he did 78 locals this year.
Was that Smoke Bomb?
That's Smokey, yeah, he's 78, bro.
Well, that's his nickname.
Okay.
But they race like 4
that's
or 5 times.
That's a lot of locals.
Yeah.
He's crazy. From October 1 until now, he did almost 80 locals. Now, also in our state series, this is another way that we encourage with locals, right? If you do 30 races, now that includes locals and qualifiers, but if you do 30 races from October 1 till now, well, until this past weekend, you get a 30 race award from USA BMX. So it encourages kids, because the kids, you know, if they're down to like 27 races total or whatever, and they're like, oh man, I want that 30 race award. Yeah. They're going out there to like, they give out duffel bags. We've got some pretty sick coolers. We've got, umbrellas, you name, like we give stuff out. I'm not going to tell you what this year's award is, but, just really cool gifts just for racing 30 races. It's free. USA BMX gives it to you for that.
Oh, and that's in Florida.
So that was another thing that we carried over from SSA. Yeah. SSA did that as well. We carried it over. So there were a lot of things like that 30 race award, the local stuff, the qualifying amounts, the trophy ceremony, all of that. We as track operators kind of insisted that that stayed the same.
Yeah. Can you imagine getting 30 locals in Michigan?
You'd have to.
I don't know.
You'd have to race two times on every Saturday.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. You're gonna do it.
I was just thinking when he said that. I'm thinking, okay, so you could hit one Saturday morning, one Saturday afternoon, one Sunday. Maybe you could hit a Friday. Man, you'd
have to set and plan that all out.
Oh my gosh, you'd be crisscrossing this state left, right, up and down, man.
Hey, Nick, before we jump off, I wanted to have you brag a little bit here about the fundraiser you did, and. Is it Healy family? Is that how he pronounced his last name?
Yeah, it's Healy. Aaron Healy.
Yeah.
That we had raced for this past weekend. Yeah, it's his family.
So if you want to just kind of explain what you guys did and let everyone know, because I, like, when Melissa and I saw it, we're like, what? Mm-hmm. So congratulations. And it was a...
Sounds like it was very successful.
Yeah. Let us all know.
Very successful. Well, first, in order to pull something off like that, you have to have amazing volunteers at your track. I'm fortunate enough that I get a lot of credit for it. But the people, I have so many volunteers at our track, you know, that come and help out, that make our track what it is. So it doesn't, you know, we started off, we've been a track that has always given back the best that we can, whether it is through, you know, Race for Life, where we race every year for a local child with cancer. We have a cancer hospital here in Southwest Florida. So we fundraise for that. You know, most recently we had a fundraiser for Hurricane Ian victims here, some of our local families, where we raised just over $10,000. So our track doing something of this magnitude is not abnormal. Now, I will go ahead and say that for this particular fundraiser, there were a lot more nuances that stressed me the hell out. you know, when you're doing something like this for a soldier, Aaron Healy was a soldier who was originally from Cape Coral. He was living and stationed in Louisville, Kentucky. He was a helicopter pilot, and him and I believe it was six other soldiers. Don't hold me to that number. I can't remember if it was six or eight, but they suffered a training crash a few weeks ago up in Louisville, and he passed away. And Aaron has two younger daughters, married with two younger daughters. He is from Cape Coral originally, and when he was a kid, he raced at Cape Coral BMX. We have a local family who races at Cape Coral BMX right now, that family members of his. And so one of our local families who are absolutely amazing, they run a foundation called Operation Spreading Aloha, where they are constantly, they're from Hawaii originally, and they're a military family, and they're always trying to find ways to raise money and give back. And the Biernes family is their name. And they came to me and said, hey, Nick, you know, we want to have a memorial race and raise some money for Aaron Healy's family. As far as we know, there's nothing planned by the city of Cape Coral, and we don't want to have that happen. So could we do it at the track? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. Like, no questions asked. So that's when the planning started. And then we started reaching out to local, you know, VFW groups. I mean, there's all kinds of military organizations in Southwest Florida. Made a flyer for it, just started posting everywhere. And the amount of the outpouring support that we got, I mean, I was being contacted all day, every day for the past couple of weeks about information. How do we donate? We had a silent auction. The Biernes family, they stayed up all weekend and preparing food to sell in our registration. We shut our registration or our concessions. I'm sorry. We shut our concessions down. And the only thing that we sold out of concessions was the food that the Biernes family made. And then all of that money went to the Healy family. So everything that we raised that night, it didn't matter if it was race registration, you know, out of concessions, silent auctions, raffles, you name it, went to the Healy family. We had BMX companies donating all kinds of stuff. Nick Long sent me an autographed Haro jersey. I mean, we had Speedco gift baskets. We had local organizations in the community donating. I mean, and these weren't little gift baskets or gift cards. Like, some of these things were valued like $300 for silent auction. It was insane.
Wow. That is unbelievable.
Yeah. So then on top of that, we had the local JROTC at the high school that Aaron attended come out and do the color guard. We had a local bagpipe and drum organization come out and do bagpipes and taps for him. And that was incredible. It was one of the coolest things I've ever been a part of. And there wasn't a dry eye in the house through that whole thing. I'm like, man, I don't know how I'm going to be able to announce after that.
Right. But
we end up raising just over $12,000 for the event give to his family. So
that is so cool.
Congratulations.
It was amazing. We had 30 motos that night. I think it was 140 riders, somewhere around there. So it was busy. And then when you add in all the people that just came, we had people that they didn't come to race. They just came for the event. And our entire facility was just loaded with people from the community that were there.
Wow. Well, congratulations. And please pass That's it along great. To all your volunteers.
Yeah,
that's
really something. That makes a Congratulations, big you guys. That's great.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. It was really awesome. Like I said, it's by far one of the coolest things that I've been a part of in BMX, and without a doubt, something that I'll never forget.
Wow, that hey, really is something.
Good luck on the team series, and good luck to the fam racing. And
thank you, sir.
Call hashtag Chill with Joe. We all said hi.
She's listening.
All right.
We'll talk soon again, and we'll get you back on here after the state series is over. All right,
appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, have a good one. Good talking with you.
See ya.
So
that Nick Jones, track operator at Cape Coral BMX and the team manager for JNR Bicycles and Power FX.
Hey, I've been thinking about that question.
Okay,
I have an answer.
All right.
What?
Make it fun.
Yeah.
Build a community. Mm-hmm. Like, have an event. Don't just have a race. Like, make people want to come back and go to the next one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? Well, it's if you so you got tracks like here where people have there's only a small handful of people that were around when we had the you know, NBL,
Michigan, NBL, yeah.
You know, series. So you've got a lot of track operators that don't know that way. They kind of hear us talking about the Florida series or something. And what would be, when we can take it, you know, kind of offline or something or whatever, it'd be interesting to hear when, for example, like when Alice started it, what were some of the roadblocks that she had? I mean, obviously getting the track operators together, you know, you're dealing with, you know, money, you know, paying the tracks and that aren't racing that year and things like that. Those are all things that have been perfected over the season.
You got different personalities that have to get along.
And I mean, obviously everyone's got to agree, but it would be interesting to know some of the, like pitfalls, that or roadblocks, I guess, roadblocks that you needed to get it started, because it's, to your point, it just becomes an event, Brian, like, because you get to be there for 2 days. It's a much more laid back, relaxed environment where you're not, you know, this. It's, you know, like the Friday night, you know, you can show up Friday night and do the practice, and you can practice. I think it's still like 8, 9 or something. Some tracks even might go later than that, but it's such a chill.
Yeah.
You know, you're not getting home, worrying about getting there on time, and, or, you know, you're like running against this crazy deadline. Like, no, you can just take your time and get there. You're going to have time to practice. You're going to have time in the morning on Saturday to practice. It's a good thing.
Yeah. What I remember, one of the things I remember is, you know, like I said, the camping. So you're camping there Friday and Saturday night. Saturday night, a lot of these tracks would have like local band, you know, like, or local DJ, and they'd have some dancing and, you know, like a little party out there in the camping area.
Yeah.
You
know? This is the thing we've talked about numerous times about the Friday night pit party.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and getting people there, and, you know, because they always try to have like a pro autograph session that never works. You know, the kids that want the autographs are in staging. You know, when you finally get corral all the pros together, you know, it takes 30 minutes, 40 minutes just to do that. And then you only have them there for like 10 or 15 minutes because they got to get ready to go run again.
Yeah,
true.
So it just never really works out. So taking that out of the equation and putting it in a different spot, you know, Gus and I from Profile have talked about it for hours about a Friday night pit party and how cool it would be.
Sure.
You know, to have that band that you're talking about, you know, and that's kind of where you could introduce people to BMX, you know, you know, that's where you get, like when I had a race a long time ago called the Ultimate Pro Cup. And we had sponsorship from Huffy. We had sponsorship from MCS and from Bully. And we had a banner on an end aisle display at Publix in 3 locations around Okeechobee. And on that banner was Corey Anastasio. Come see Corey Anastasio. And Corey at the time was huge. You know, everybody knew Corey. Everybody wanted, like, he was just a rock star. And we had so many people at Okeechobee, you know, I don't know how many we had exactly, but I want to say we had like somewhere around 5,000 people at Okeechobee. Every bleacher was taken. There were 5, 6 people deep all the way around the fence, all the way around. There was so many people.
So these weren't even racers. These are just.
These were just people.
Joe Public coming into the BMX show.
Just Joe Public. Yeah. And that's what you need to do. I know this is later on in the script for obvious reasons, but this is what you need to do to bring people to the sport. They wonder why we don't get these big sponsors. Well, we're seeing the same fucking people every week.
Yeah.
The same people. They run an ad in Pull magazine, and they covered everybody. All right, cool. We advertise that everybody knows who we are, you know, basically, you gotta get outside the box. You gotta get people to come to your event that aren't part of the event.
Mm.
Those are the people that you're after.
Right.
And I don't really know exactly how that fits in, but it's not going to fit in where it is now. I mean, you get people that show up to a race now, and oh, why are these people tailgating? You know, like, what's going on out here? You know, there's no kiosk to say go this way, and an information canopy, and, you know, like stuff like that. I mean, think about if you've ever been to a Supercross, think about that. You're walking in, and they've got you a brochure for you. Here you go. Here's all the players in the game. You're leaving it with something in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, like that would be rad to have like a
program,
a generic program that we did it for Okeechobee a long time ago. We did a newsletter and we just had articles all through it, and we left spots for ads so they knew how many ads they could sell. And they sold ads in that program, and it was great. It was informative. hey, how you doing? You're new to the track? Cool. Here you go. Here's your kit. And then your kit is like track rules, verbiage, like terminology. So people don't have to read a moto sheet at the time. You know, most tracks, I guess, are still on moto sheets. They're not on like the phone, right, on the digital.
Right.
You know, but like Okeehealy, I believe, is. But they're ahead of the curve. I mean, but that just shows you what you could be, you know, aspire to be. They've got timing. They've got help from their county because they have a great relationship with their county. If your county tells you to do something or your city tells you to do something, do it, because you want to get along with those people. Right. You know, you don't want to buck the system, because then all of a sudden you're not going to get any help. You know, right, come that qualifier time when you need a little, you want a sign out in front that says BMX racing this weekend, you know, or something. All of a sudden they got six of them in the yard and they're all taken.
Well, I always thought about, like, with my first trip to Rock Hill, if you were, like, I mean, even not, you know, just your first time there or not a BMXer, there wasn't, like, a map of where things and what was. Yeah. For, like, a non-BMXer, just to go check it out, just to check the big event out, there wasn't like a sandwich board or, like you said, a kiosk of some sort that, like, you know, the left side of the track, the last straightaway side of the track is, you know, pit row, factory row, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, the soccer fields isn't just one big pit area that everyone's out partying in. That's where the rest of the teams are and da, 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 da. And, you know, the one building is this. Now I believe I did see that this year there. I think I did, but I think it was Rock Hill put it on. But I was like, I always thought of that the first time I went there. Like, even at any national, if you were new, you got to figure at every national, there's a new person, a new group, a new family, that it's their very first time, that, like, that should be, I always felt that should be there, just like some sort of a program too. I mean, they make new rider, to Brian's point, they make the little new rider brochures, like your, you know, these
right.
nationals. Cause you know, it's not always, you're going to have the people that are going to go to the nationals that travel to them all the time, but there's always a new group coming into them.
Right.
Yeah. And maybe it's a retention thing. Maybe it's just a quicker ramp up time to, you know, keep them as an activation into the sport. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, I don't think you need this, but like at your local track, a lot of these tracks have like a, I don't know, what do you call it? Like a liaison, new rider person. Yeah. Like, hey, you're new to the track. It's your first time racing. Hey, we're going to hook you up with Justin. He's your guy for the rest of the day. If you have any questions, he'll get you started. He'll show you what to do, you know, on and on and on. So, you know, I don't think you need that at a national, but if you're at a national and you notice somebody is a newbie, hey, is this your first time here? Well, this is how it works. You know, give them the once over, you know, tell them what it is.
You imagine going to like one of those nationals, like the 400 moto count, it being your first national.
First one ever.
Like, holy jeez.
Yeah. Well, that, and you know, you hear these stories every once in a while where somebody will go, yeah, my first race ever was
the grand.
It's like, man, are you in for a letdown once you go somewhere else?
Wasn't Matt Hall's first race that? Yeah,
I think so.
He's just like, I'm just going to go. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool, because it'll be the first time I went to the U.S. and ABA ones.
Yeah.
He got there, and we're both like, holy jeez. And it was the COVID grands, too. We're like, he's like, are nationals this big? I'm like, no.
No, that's a whole different ball game right there.
Hey, Brian, we're going to call Josh Long. He's the TO from Waterford. I know you saw the pictures. Chris had posted them. And you were out there, right, Chris?
Yes. Yeah. I went out there Monday night. They did a league. Well, we'll get Josh on here and we'll talk to him. He's kind of new to the sport. He's only been doing it for a few years, and now he's a track operator at one of the oldest tracks in the country.
How's it going?
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good, man. We got you on the show.
Hello, everybody.
This is Josh Long. He's the TO of Waterford Oaks. Chris, go ahead and kind of set it up. I'm going to change the graphics on the screen. Graphics, right?
Okay. Yeah. So Josh is, like Justin just said, he's the track operator, Waterford Oaks BMX. Josh, how long have you been a track operator? What, 2-3 years now?
A year and like 2 months.
Okay. So, and, you know, Josh is fairly new to this track operator deal.
Let's say you're a freshie.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. But, so you guys had a beginner league. I guess it's called league. They don't call it beginner league. It's a league open house last Monday. And so we wanted to have you on real quick, kind of go over that for some of the other tracks out there. That's something that we've always talked about here on the show is if you're a track operator and you haven't done a BMX racing league, you need to do this. If you want to get new people to your track, you need to do this. So how many riders did you have signed up for Monday, this past Monday?
I had 130 registered riders.
Okay. All right. And I'm assuming since, well, like Justin said, I was there. It was a little cold. The weather wasn't the greatest. So I'm assuming you had a little less than that actually show. But
I got the total number right here. We had 90 riders show up.
Wow. Shit. That's still an awesome number. Now, you guys are going to start the league this coming Monday?
Yep.
Okay.
Hopefully it doesn't rain this weekend, but yes, Mondays we're on.
Yeah, the weather's not working with you, unfortunately, buddy, because it looks like it's going to rain like, what, Friday, Saturday, Sunday up here. So.
Yep.
Yeah, but Waterford's always in that little valley that it just kind of opens up. And
it does.
It'll miss it.
It's the strangest thing. The clouds just kind of part right there, and I don't know. We call it the vortex. It's the riders going around the track.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something. Hey, I don't know.
Josh, you did some of these leagues last year, right?
Yes.
And how was the success for you last year? You can give a guesstimate, or if you got the number, you know, how many riders did you guys bring on into the sport last year?
About 150.
Holy sh!
150 USA BMX memberships.
Well, that was new. Yeah, that's yeah. I mean, 30, 40 is really good.
Yeah, no, it's awesome.
And you did the majority of this through your league, right? Or your
USA BMX.
Yeah. So how many people are you guys using typically to run your program each week?
It's pretty much everybody that's on my board, like 10 to 12 people. And we're actually getting, you know, from running it last year, we're actually getting, you know, parents more involved that Brian Arogian, he stepped up from last year. He come out and help. Mm-hmm. We have a lady, Christy. She did the third session, and her daughter ended up winning the free bike that we did. She's been big on this. Matt White, Chris White, Steve Berry, Ryan Hobbs, my wife, my son, Mia Flynn helped out big last year as a coach. Aiden Hobbs. It takes a lot of people to do this. It really does, especially with 90 kids running around the track. It's right. It's pretty crazy, but it's all fun, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, the open house was a lot of fun. The other day it's cool to do that. We did it. I was involved with it probably what 5-6 years ago when it first started coming out. And it's so cool to see the little kids get so excited and they're like ready to go, you know, and they show up for the league the first night. And they're just smiling ear to ear. When you look under those helmets and all you see is a smiling face under there, and they're having a ball. It's so cool.
Well, you start bringing in 90 to 130 kids, you're going to get a lot of volunteers real quick.
That, you know, I got to say, that was one of many of my downfalls with when I did it. I don't think I had enough volunteers. I should have recruited more volunteers. And two, I should have talked to more parents and tried to get more parents involved in the volunteering part of it.
Yeah.
That would probably be personally like the negatives I saw in what I did with it was that. But hey, you know, so anybody out there doing that, don't forget to talk to mom and dad who's sitting there just watching their son or daughter take the lead. Get out there, and you almost need a person designated to kind of be that like parent liaison person that's going to talk to them, because they're used to that. If you think about it, like a football, you know, what do you call it? Like peewee football or little league football or baseball, parents are used to volunteering now and then, if not all each time they're out there. Right.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
So for my, for my daughter's cheerleading squad, every parent or set of parents, if you were, per cheerleader, they require the parent volunteer at least 2 hours throughout the course of the season, various events. If you don't take the opportunity to volunteer, then they mandate a $50 donation.
Really?
Towards the cheerleading program.
Wow.
Just so get it off the rip. Here's my 50.
And a lot of parents do that. And but others do not, you know, it depends on what's your time worth, you know, but so the volunteer hours are mandatory, but there is a way to sort of counteract if you're, you know, unable to do the volunteers. It seems to work really well for them.
Sure.
And they make a lot of money.
Right. Yeah.
Well, way back in the day when I was track operator at a little track called Coral Springs BMX, we used to have on Saturday mornings, we used to have beginner clinics, and you only people that could ride were beginners, and they were free. And when my brother taught the kids on the track, and then we took the parents over on the bleacher and we taught them how to, we had a big moto sheet blown up, and we taught them how to read a moto sheet and taught them how things work and how the state series works, and just kind of filled them in on that. And then, and then that's when you kind of slide in there. And by the way, you know, if you'd like to volunteer, you know, we're always, you know, because you kind of turn people off if, like, you hit them up right away. Like, you know, you kind of scare them, I think.
Yeah.
You know, well, but if it's part of the spiel, you know, of how to do this, how to do that, some track rules, you know, like, hey, when your kid falls, don't go running out there.
Yeah,
you know, there's somebody that'll help them. Don't worry. You know, that all that stuff, and then like you kind of slot it in at the end. You know,
right
of the volunteer stuff.
Well, Josh, I think you could take the cheer idea and just roll that bad boy out on Monday.
you're gonna
volunteer one race, or you're gonna pay $50.
And we're gonna have soil tack for seasons to come.
There you go.
Next thing we know, they got Musco lights and they got a helicopter landing pad at Waterford right away.
That's
right.
Hey.
Yep.
Hey, well, congratulations, Josh, and you guys got practice tomorrow, right?
Yes. Yep.
All right.
What time is that running?
6 to 8.
All right, and you know what? Overall, last year, great work, man. You guys got the state championship this year. We're looking forward to being out there for multiple races and the state championship. And you know, if you guys got anything going on out there you want us to share, always just kick it over to us. We'll get it on the show and share it. And we'll probably see you.
Their media guy's always in
touch.
Yeah,
right. Waterford Oaks has a killer media guy.
Yeah, he does an awesome job.
He's got my email down.
Yeah.
Is there still a fountain?
Yes, there is.
What's that, Phil?
If there's still a fountain.
I was asking if there's still a fountain there. I haven't been to Waterford Oaks since the couple nationals after the Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
There. Yep. They had a couple more nationals.
It's still there, right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
I don't recall.
I mean, I don't know if it's turned
out. Is the fountain still there, Josh? You still run the fountain?
I did run it last year, but it's the county's. It's in the works to get it running this year. So.
Awesome.
I like cool stuff like that. Port Charlotte's got a fountain that they don't. I think they used to run it. I don't know if they run it anymore.
Yeah, they still do. Yeah.
It's cool. I like it.
Yeah.
It adds ambiance to the track.
Yeah, you gotta be careful going down that last straightaway at Waterford Oaks because Justin will cut over on you and throw you right in the pond.
Only in practice, you can't do it in a race.
Oh, that's true. Not anymore.
Hey, Josh, we appreciate you taking time and jumping on. It's always a pleasure to chat with you. And might see you tomorrow, all right?
Yeah. All right, man. Thanks. Yeah.
Take care.
So, bye. Yeah. So they're racing Saturday mornings out there at Waterford Oaks. If you want to check them out, just go to waterfordoaksbmx.com or Facebook. Look them up, Waterford Oaks BMX Racetrack on Facebook. That's where they get all your information on that.
Do you got any questions in there, Melissa?
I think Petey had another question, changing the subject back. Hold on.
Oh, Petey.
Petey.
He says...
Did it say, how did I get my name, Peekaboo?
No.
Peekaboo Petey Peters?
No, it does not say that. It says, what made you kind of leave the industry directly and revamp Mega into what it is now? Do you think many people know that it was a factory team in the mid-90s?
I think nobody knows it.
I didn't know that.
Because BMX doesn't hold on to our history.
Well, we've talked about that before.
I learned after hanging out, living in Florida a couple months, hanging out with Brian numerous times, that when I went to his office, I found Mega was also a zine. He did a zine. It's killer.
That's how Mega started. Magazine.
Really?
Magazine.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
That's how it started.
Shoot, back I didn't know day. That, Brian. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was after I left Getaware. I wanted to do something, so I started doing Magazine. And it was a full-on magazine. You know, I used to shoot the races and write the articles and have the bitch session in the front and all that stuff. And I swear you could take those articles and republish them now, and they're just as relevant now as they were
just,
back
just
then.
Just as bitchy now as they were then.
It's crazy stuff. You
That's
know?
What like, I forgot tonight. I was going to get my Getaware hat. I was going to wear it. I forgot.
Bill be proud. Prince.
Yeah. Prince would like that, wouldn't he?
He would.
How
back in the game.
Back in the game. How big was the team?
Like six riders.
Yeah.
There's a picture in the roll where we're all in the there's mountains behind us. We're all standing there. And I'm on the left. That was when we went to Venezuela.
Really?
You know, so I think there was maybe six of us, seven, maybe six.
Is that where you got stopped at customs?
Yes.
It's a funny story.
Everybody gets stopped at customs.
It's a funny story.
No, it was funny because the guy, we had like 17 or like 12 people with this one. There's like 17 bags. And I was the first person through, and they were going through my backpack, and they found an adult magazine, and they were like, "Whoa!" And they liked it, so I gave it to them, and I said, "You want it?" And they were like, "Yeah." And they took it, and then everybody through. Let's go, everybody go through. So they
you
didn't
bribed a customs officer.
Technically, I did.
That's in Venezuela, man.
Technically, I did. But, you know, whatever. It worked. But they didn't check any more bags. We could have brought anything in through there.
That's hilarious.
For a magazine.
They just got their nudie magazine and we're like, just later, get out of here.
It was crazy. It was crazy.
The women are a lot hairier there.
What?
Just saying. So the magazine was probably a big novelty. You can't all get awkwardly quiet at the same time. My joke dies if you're like, "Oh, do we laugh at that? Is that really funny?"
Just taking a minute
trying to figure out where you're going.
That's kind of actually
stopping right there.
Okay.
That we're in the adult portion of the evening.
Are we? Oh, it's after 9 o'clock. We can. Okay, that's I was worried about. I'm like, okay.
I'm just like, yeah.
Sure, they are. Yep. Moving on.
I guess we could. Melissa, how do you know that?
Well, the internet.
I know a lot of things I don't share.
Probably learns it at her job.
You'd be surprised. They do come in all shapes and sizes, by the way.
Actually, yes.
Just saying.
Quite lovely.
Anyway, what did he say? Got werewolves and G-strings down there.
That had to be Rick.
No, it was actually Zach.
Oh, okay.
Brandon Dollar said Venezuela tumbleweeds. What the fuck? Yeah, if anyone would know, Emily would know because you guys have the same job.
We
and you
do
all
the
see
same
some,
thing.
See
yes.
Emily on there too.
Yep.
You see some stuff.
We are the OT crew.
Yes.
Hey, Prince texted me. He said, "Yes, I would."
Yep. That's what he just yep. He
What's
just messaged
that?
Me too.
Would what?
Prince. I don't know. What was he saying?
Be excited.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot.
To bring back Galloway.
I should have wore that hat. I didn't. Oh well. I thought, hey, I got my mega shirt on, if that counts.
There you go. You're in the game.
Yeah.
In the game.
Just saying, you know, if you're going to be on the show and you send us a shirt, we'll wear it.
Just try to send another color than black.
Yeah, black would be, yeah.
I go to my closet and like, this much is black t-shirts, and that's the rest of my closet.
Yeah. That's
Mine's like black.
Yep.
And color.
And other. Yep.
Or gray. I mean, we're not... It makes us stand out better in the studio if it's not black.
I think I got it pretty good now.
Yeah.
I wish you could see that picture closer. That one that just went off. You could see my filas with the toes, the tongues up in the shoe.
What?
What? The picture of me doing the X up. A few pictures ago in the slide. Mm-hmm. Kind of laughing. There you go.
There's
That's
the team
right there. What's that? Six, and then there's one more person at home. My buddy Viato is at home. He got hit with a bat like the week before that.
Oh Jesus!
In the head.
Ouch!
Ouch!
So he couldn't go.
Hey, Petey said the last time you were at Waterford Oaks was the firecrack incident.
Yeah, with Derek Boettcher. But all right, first of all, Derek Boettcher is born on 4th of July. So okay. I named him Firecracker because he threw some firecrackers behind me and it scared the shit out of me. And so I went and got his helmet. I had one of the kids grab his helmet, another kid with some fireworks, and another kid with a lighter. And the one kid grabbed his helmet and took it out in front of the pit. And the other kid walked by with and held the firecrackers. Another kid lit it and dropped them in his helmet. And he came walking up, they're going off. Blah, 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 blah. I was getting ready for his race. He's like, "Oh my God, whose helmet is that?" And I'm like, "Yours." He got so pissed. It was turns out it was the prototype carbon fiber answer helmet.
Oh boy.
Oh no.
Yeah. But the best part is he had to go race. So he went up there with like a helmet smelling like a fire, smelling gunpowder and stuff.
Oh gosh.
And then because of that with the firecrackers and he's born on 4th of July, like I called him Firecracker for a while. It didn't really stick though. So
legit.
I was like, eh.
Oh my gosh. That is funny.
I go way back with DB. We got some good times together. Good stories.
So do we want to go to MTBSX?
Sure.
You want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure.
All right.
I could talk about that for an hour.
Well, we got time. Well, we're not going anywhere.
Tell us how the idea. You want me to put the video up? We can watch check the video out and then come back?
Sure.
Okay. All right. We're going to check the video out.
This will kind of give you a rough idea what we're talking about. How's that?
Yeah.
All right, I'm Rich Montalvo, the Turbo Dad. I'm here with Brian Fell, and we're at beautiful Port Charlotte BMX for the first annual MTBSX event. And he's going to tell us how he came up with this idea and what exactly is MTBSX.
Basically, I thought of the MTBSX about 9 years ago, and I've gone to other mountain bike events, and they're just not so exciting for spectators. My idea was to basically take the event and put it on an indoor type venue like Supercross. but we don't have a lot of those, so I took it to the BMX track. It's much like the AMA Supercross series. You have a heat, an LCQ, and a main event. Ideally, you want to transfer out in your heat by getting top five. The remaining riders go to the LCQ, and the top 10 transfer to the main for a total of 20 riders overall.
That sounds great, Brian, and I like this new type of racing because it gives people a choice. You can do your traditional mountain bike racing, you can do your BMX, but if you want a good mix to challenge you, really challenge your stamina, your power, your bike handling, MTBSX is the way. And now, let's see some racing. So as I mentioned, this is the very first event for this new type of racing. Brian, is there plans for more, a series? What are your plans going into this year and possibly the future?
We have plans to do a series. Right now, we want to get the first one out of the way, get it in the books, figure out the pros, the cons, all the little hiccups that are going to cause a problem. But we are planning on rolling out a series later on in the year when the weather cools down a little bit. And we want to go to like 6 or 7 tracks, have a nice series, nothing crazy, and see where it goes. That's it, in the books. We pulled it off. Got my man Chad here. Couldn't have done it without you. Thank you very much for coming out.
Man, great weekend of racing out here. First annual, first time to shine out here in Florida. MTB SX, man, Supercross, mountain biking. Brian, I had a great time today. Hope you did too. Mega Designs, appreciate y'all being here today. USA BMX, Charlotte Bombshell, Punta Gorda, Florida. You guys threw on a beautiful first round for these guys. Hope to see you on the next round, guys.
Got to give a special shout out to JNR Bicycles. Without JNR, Kirk, and Delaney, we greatly appreciate it. You came through for us in a major, major way, and I will never, ever forget it. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, that was it.
Brian, how much weight have you lost?
60 pounds.
You look fantastic.
I kind of looked at myself in the video and I was like, oof.
I never know exactly how to pay that kind of compliment, but because I personally know you've been working your ass off and really like working towards that. But to see the side by side, you really.
Pretty crazy, yeah, right?
You're killing it. Nice job.
Good job, man.
Yeah, but now with my hip, with my pain meds, I got to eat to take my pain meds, and I can't fast like I want to. It's either be in pain or
break your fast, yeah.
Or break the fast. So I've been trying not to break the fast. So I'm like gipping in the morning and
killing it in the evening.
a little bit better in the afternoon, and then it wears off. So.
Aww. Well, keep up the hard work. It's paying off.
Not
good
easy
for you. No,
not easy at all.
So, I got a chance to be down there for the race, and then the people that are watching, that wasn't done in the traditional style of a BMX race. Brian had set it up with a normal mass mountain bike start behind staging, and they raced up staging on the track, and then they kind of looped around and would go back up staging And how many laps was it that they would do?
A 3-lap qualifier and an 8-lap main, or ten lap main.
And
holy smokes,
it was crazy. It was neat to see the strategy some people were using.
Really,
you could like yeah, there because you had some people.
The H6 kid Harrison. He jumped out to like an early lead and he was like going to be gone. And then Kelly Jones just slowly pulled him and then passed him. And his tongue's hanging out and she's like ready to go 4 more laps.
Ah,
you know, and it's just the whole tortoise and the hare thing is great.
Yeah. Like,
you know, there's so many things about this, you know, it's not just like a traditional sprint. You got to think about, you got to be the whole 10 laps.
Yes.
Can you imagine Justin doing 10 laps on a BMX track nonstop, just go?
Well,
think about the mountain bike people that like go ride trails and they'll go ride like a 25-mile right. trail.
Right. No, I'm talking about a BMXer.
Well, that's the thing.
Doing that, it'd be like, oh my gosh.
Not long riders, you're sprinters.
No.
Yeah, and Brian had it open to, you could ride whatever bike you wanted. And it just happened to fall on a weekend where it was like, you know, the push for the last race for points.
Oh, for the state series in Florida?
Yeah. So okay. Like a lot of the BMXers, they didn't try to jump in, which they would have probably died. There was quite a few, though, if you remember, that showed up and watched it because somebody raced in the morning. And then like Nick Jones came up he came up there and then we raced in the afternoon at his track and there was a lot of people that checked it out, but they were all doing the local races for the state points. But yeah. it was such a cool event. And like a track like for people in the Midwest, like Waterford, where you could just loop around.
That's yeah, it what would they work. Do. It would oh, work there,
man. And it was watching the guy that fell. He led the race the whole way and he just took his eye off for a second. And then little skinny tires just poof, went out right out from underneath them. Yeah.
Well, technically, Sean and Monaco had the lead. Remember, Sean and Monaco got out to a start, and then that guy passed him, and then he had the lead, and then he was like he slid out in the last turn and broke his bike, and it was a sad day
yeah.
for him,
yeah.
but it was great for everybody because we were all cheering like, you know, to make it happen, and everybody that came had a great time. That's like the name of the game for me. That's what I took away from that. Not one person that I hear say, I don't know why I came here for this. So yeah. That's big picture stuff for me.
I could see going there and enjoying watching that. I don't know. It's something I would do myself.
I mean, think about it.
I'd make it a lap maybe or two.
If you want to ride your mountain bike, if you want to be competitive on your mountain bike and your significant other wants to hang out with you and be around you, going to a traditional mountain bike race isn't exactly entertaining for them. It's kind of boring.
Yeah, that's true.
In this format, they can watch your entire race. They can see everything. So they're still in the loop. They know what's going on. So they feel included. So they want to go more. So you could ride more.
Plus, you come back to the pits. You can hang out with them for a little bit before you have to go again. Or
it makes it a full day. Not I'll be back in 40 minutes after my race.
Yeah,
or 20 minutes or whatever. You know, it's a whole different animal. You know, and I've been thinking about this for over 10 years, at least 10 years. And I mean, I asked Raul Gomez back in the day about it, and he was like, "Nah." And then he quit racing BMX and he's more in the mountain bike now. And then I ask him again and he's like, oh man, that'd be sick. You know? So a mountain biker, there's enough people in that discipline, in that demographic that could make a lot of good races and competitive races.
Yeah.
And I think it's there. I can totally see it.
Sure. Sure. How did you break them up? Was it age or type of bike?
The research I did, typically mountain bikes, they go like 20s, 30s, 40s.
Okay.
All the if you're 20 to 29, that's your group. 30 to 39, 40 to 49.
Okay. Now, do you have younger, like teenagers?
Yeah, they have junior. It's like 17 and under.
Okay.
The way they grouped it. I think, I mean, I really, and this is nothing against kids. I think kids should be on a BMX bike. This is more geared for adults and the adults that don't race BMX that ride their mountain bikes, but they need something to be a little bit more competitive. I think this fills that gap.
Yeah. Well, it sounds really cool. You know,
it was also, it was also interesting to see the bike. Like, was it, you know, some were going to try dirt jumpers. Some had the cross country bike, and like the one we watched with the guy that fell, he had more of like the skinny tire. They call them gravel bikes.
Like a gravel bike.
Yeah. So you had all different kinds of bikes that people were trying out on it, which made it even more interesting to see. You know, and watch.
Because like nobody really knows. I mean, we can't. If you're in the know of mountain, then you kind of know like your DJ is probably going to be your best option. So, you know, like a lot of the guys I've been talking to now, the 25 to 30 year olds, they know what bike they want to bring. They know how they want to set it up. So I'm excited. I'm excited for the next one. And I'm hoping it's going to be at Okeehealy BMX.
Okay.
You know, it's the open house this past weekend. And there was a lot of people out there. It was probably like 25, 30 people out there. And that was pretty cool. And I want to go to Okeehealy because it's a great facility. It spells out where you're supposed to go. Like it has a building. So, you know, to go over here, you know, to the flow, you know? Right. So I like the way that facility is. In a way, it helps people. You know what I mean? Like it's obvious where to go.
Yeah. Now so, the one in the video that was at Punta Gorda, right?
Correct.
Okay, different track.
Charlotte BMX.
Port Charlotte. Yep. Okay. Not Port Charlotte. But, yeah. Okay. All right. Just checking.
Yep. Yep.
Cool deal.
Yeah. So, I think this is a good thing for the tracks because it could bridge that gap for the bike shops to maybe get back out to the BMX track a little bit, you know, because they don't want to come out there for BMX. Maybe they'll want to come out here for mountain. And then if they're there for mountain already, maybe they'll kind of hang out for BMX.
True.
It's kind of the thinking there.
Yeah. Well, plus you get, let's say, like you said, it may be more geared towards an older, you know, 20s and up, let's say,
right.
You know, but they may have teenagers or even younger kids and go, hey, this is a BMX track on, you know, the other nights it's not the mountain bike racing. So maybe the younger kids want to try doing the BMX part of it. You know, you don't.
And then if the kid's in the BMX and the dad doesn't even know he could ride the mountain bike on the BMX track.
Right.
You know, he doesn't even think he could do that right now.
Yeah. And that opens up more revenue on, let's say, a practice night. So now you got BMX bikes and the mountain bikes going.
Yep.
You know,
you got an adult dollar coming in.
Right.
More of a disposable income, I would think.
Sure.
Is that demographic.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's true. I mean, you see the price of some of the mountain bike components and stuff they put on those bikes. Holy moly.
Motorcycles are cheaper.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, but, you know, if we can get some of those folks out to the BMX track, you know, it's another night the BMX track can be open as well.
Well, you stack the mountain bikes in there, like you said, on practice. Yeah. And, you know, with a series like this, when it gets off the ground and running, you know, with what the sanctions doing, bringing mountain bikes in, you know, a series like this would lend itself well with that because it could pull from that series into the MTBSX also.
Right.
And, you know, then the MTBSX can grow, offering itself a little different discipline, but it's still being used at the BMX track. So it's kind of win-win.
Right. Yeah. And I also really like Brian's point of you have spectators.
Yeah.
Where a traditional mountain bike race, you look to your left, they go past you. You look to your right, they're gone. Oh, that was fun.
I mean,
exactly. You know, and there's nothing against that. You know,
right?
Not saying that it's awful or bad or whatever. It's just
Yeah.
Not conducive to a spectator so much.
But, I mean, like, just for an example, if my daughter was doing that and I wanted to go watch it, I would much rather be able to watch the whole thing, like you were saying, at a BMX track. I can see from start to finish the entire lap where, like I just said, you know, you look to the left, they go by you. You look to the right, they're gone. And yep. You're still standing there going, okay, well, when they get back, we'll find out how they actually finished. I don't know.
Well, when right. you watch the Red Bull events, like, shoot, they'll have 13 cameras to cover the downhill, mm-hmm. and they have a drone. Like, you know, yeah. and you figure, they're in the woods. You aren't going to see them. That's exactly his point. Where that's
that discipline. That's, I mean, there's not, like Brian said, there's nothing against that. It's just,
yep.
That's how it is. That's how it works.
A track director needs to think about his track as a business.
Mm-hmm.
And you want your business to be open as much as possible, but you can't drown out your customer. You know, most of your customers are only going to come so many times,
right?
You know, twice a week, maybe three times a week. But what about those other days? Well, let's find out. Let's go to this demographic and bring this demographic in on those days. And now your track is making more revenue and you're open more days. And open more days means more money for the track and more revenue, more upgrades, you know.
Sure.
Easier to do things. It's a lot easier to do stuff when you got money in the bank.
Exactly.
Oh, you know? Definitely.
So I ran a track that had no money in the bank. I mean, we're talking like, hey, do we have enough to buy some pizzas for these kids to work on the track today? You know?
Right.
That kind of no money in the bank. So. Yeah. You know, I think this is just one more way to bring more revenue into the track and keep the businesses open more.
Sure. Sure. Oh, definitely something to look at, think about. Yeah.
I think we hit most of the topics we wanted to talk about tonight.
I think so.
Yeah, we touched on all of them.
Yeah. So, hey, if anybody wants to find out about this, MTBSX, you have a Instagram website? What
we
got
a website.
Going?
We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook.
Okay. So just MTBSX.com.
Yep.
All right. Go check that out, people.
It's MTBSX.com has got a Q&A page and it answers pretty much every question. And if there's something we didn't address, please send it our way. You know, sure. I am not a mountain bike guy, but I'm a promoter at heart, and I can see this and I can see that, and we're putting two things together.
Sure.
We're also looking for people that, you know, want to help out. If you want to be a part of this, you know, reach out to us. Yeah. That's been my number one problem so far is I don't know the computer side, the registration and timing side. I mean, to have a guy come and do your timing for you is $2,000. Whether you've got 10 people there or 10,000 people there, it's the same money. So it's expensive. It's an expensive endeavor. But now with scores,
that's how I was just gonna bring that up. Would that
Martin
work?
Jordan scores, you know, they've got phenomenal software. And we've been talking to him a little bit about him, maybe them writing a program for us. It's a little more user friendly, mm-hmm. you could say. I mean, I don't want to be the guy sitting there taking registrations. You know, I want to be the guy putting out fires and being here, going there, you know, doing what you got to do.
Yeah.
I want somebody to be there that's dedicated to be there that knows what's going on. And I'm not talking about a free position. I think we've talked about it enough that, you know, people know that I think officials should be paid.
Right.
You know, you're out there busting your butt and doing what you're supposed to do. I think you should be compensated for it.
You need like a race committee or some type of title like that, right? Like race director or something.
I do. I need somebody that I need some people that believe in the same thing that I can see is basically what it comes down to. You know, and nothing's set in stone. You know, we're just the ship in the ocean navigating, you know, wherever we go. And you know, we're more than willing to make adjustments and changes.
Sure.
As needed.
Well,
but we have a very, very, very solid foundation. I mean, we've got, I worked on this for over a year before I rolled it out to anybody. And we've got, our rules are pretty good. We have, our flag system is just like motocross. We have flags. We have, you know, the system broken down to what's going to happen, how it's going to play out, how the motos go to the LCQ to the final. You know, we're dialed in. Now we just need to execute.
And being there, I mean, you were hit with a pretty hard roadblock at the first one, and you handled it fine, and everyone had a good time, and plenty of people there to corner marshal, run the flags, and it was a great time. And we were talking before the show; it was hot that day too, and still had a blast.
So I guess if people want to get involved in, like, kick this thing up a notch or two and get into it, go to the mtbsx.com and contact you through there.
It's in the chat too.
It goes right to me.
The chat.
Oh, Melissa said it's in the chat.
It's in the chat.
Okay. And all the links that are in the chat will be in the show notes. So if you're listening to the podcast version of the show, thank you. First and foremost, but the links that we're putting in the chat, you'll find in the notes of the podcast.
Cool deal, man.
Brian, did you have anything else you wanted to touch on before we jump into the newsmaker segment?
We need everybody out there to buy 10 canopies this year.
Yes.
Yeah.
From
Sounds
Mega
like
Design
deal.
Group?
From Mega. Just
call
10
you directly.
Canopies each. With your help. Buying 10 canopies each.
You can feed a Brian.
We can get it done. We can retire. We can set this boat adrift. With your help. Thank you.
We need some real tears. Bring it on.
hang on.
Or you could go to Branded Pop-Ups.
Yeah, if you're going to buy 10 canopies, go to Branded Pop-Up and buy 10 ATV canopies.
There you go.
Yeah. There you go. You could buy a couple of those, too.
That would be great.
Nice.
Send a couple of them over here.
All right, we're going to jump into the Newsmaker segment. And a Newsmaker is brought to you by our good friends over at 110 Nutrition. We appreciate them. And I'm sure you guys, we pit next to them when we were down there in Florida. You guys make sure you're getting your aminos, some of the best products you can get. More and more, I just constantly see people going on social media saying how good the product are and not even endorsed.
Yeah, and they are getting a lot of people in, you know, teams are now, I see a lot of 110 Nutrition. I see it all over the place in the sport. It's great.
AJ's spreading out. He just went to a motorcycle race up in Kentucky. Yep. An off-road race, I believe.
Ah.
Well, I remember when
it was the same weekend as the last qualifier.
When you
whatever that was.
When you order online, don't forget, if you pick your cherry, they kick back a certain percentage. You can just go in there and pick your nonprofit. And if you're tracking, like we looked it up when they were on the show, and we were finding some of the tracks that were nonprofit. So
yeah, there's quite a few of them.
It's in the checkout screen. Just, you know, they kick back to the nonprofit. So big thanks to 110.
Yeah. I know Waterford Oaks is on there just from being involved with them.
Yeah. So
I'm sorry, I'm kind of the Waterford Oaks know-it-all, but yeah.
We're missing Paul to balance you out with the Richfield Park stuff. All right.
Sorry.
In support of our good friends, Nick and Lindsay Long, we're going to be letting you guys know about their travels this summer and the clinics they're doing along
with
Justin
Bagdash. Where's the captain?
The captain is taking a little time off from the clinics right now, and he's still doing a little traveling around. So we're going to talk about the Duffel Bag Dash he's got going on. $6,160 raised so far, and that's not including this month's raffle donations that he's got in there going right now. And remember, this money all goes back to the NAG challenge and the pro payout. So this money goes right back into our sport. So this month, you can win yourself a Profile Racing Care Package. Some awesome elite hubs. You can get a top load stem, pivotal seat, and a chain ring. In second place, you got a Ben Crockett hand forged knife. I was checking those out. They're really nice. That thing looks pretty cool,
yeah, man.
It's really nice. And he's gonna take a he's gonna announce the third place prize here shortly.
Man, I could use some profile stuff. I need that.
Dude, after touring the facility down there, I'm like, man,
nice stuff.
You can go broke real quick in there.
Oh yeah.
If you guys are a track team club, if you're a manufacturer, whatever you are, if you guys are hosting an event and you'd like us to share it on the show, send it on over to info@allthingsbmxshow.com and we'll get it in the newsmaker segment. And now we're going to go over and visit Melissa for the world famous trivia segment brought to you by our good friends at Bombshell Racing Systems. Oh yeah, it's Sean. Sean Gifford from Die Job. He won a big Bluetooth speaker from him.
Oh, that's right. From Nick Long?
Yeah. This is an awesome question this week.
In Brian's honor.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I didn't want to make you jealous, but I'll be having dinner with Gus tomorrow night.
God damn it.
Nice.
Gus and Big John.
Tell me, we need some profile parts.
I expect some snaps from both of them and yourself.
All right, get the usual sticker pack here and some danger snacks going out to the winner. I got a customized from our friends over at Die Job Apparel here. What is this? A cooling towel. Got Die Job on one side and ATB on the other.
There we go.
And then from Lincoln DeVore Racing, we got a Never Give Up T-shirt and your backpack to go with it all. All right, so don't answer, Brian, but think about it.
I didn't read ahead in the script.
Okay, so I want to know what is, according to my intraweb search, what is banned in public places in Florida after 6 p.m. on a Thursday?
Oh, Lord.
Very specific.
Just on Thursdays?
Yep. What is banned in public places in Florida after 6 p.m. on a Thursday?
Even her and I, well, my guess is last night, like, because it's Florida.
Yeah.
Like, there's crazy laws in Florida. Yeah. Like, you have Florida Man news every day.
This one apparently like, still on the books.
And I'm just like,
I think it's funny that you thought I might have known the answer to this.
Well, it was more. Oh my gosh, it was more that it was a Florida question,
right?
Not necessarily any other implication.
Oh yeah, I knew that.
I'm like, I was guessing like you can't drink liquor or like whiskey or something. I was like, I went down that road.
Yeah,
can't lick your alligator.
Well, there was when we were in when
can't take your pet alligator for a walk after 6 o'clock.
So, yay! Well, when Alicia was down for her 21st birthday, we were out and we walked up to one bar and we having a drink, and the lady rings the bell. She's like, "It's last call." And this was that Thursday. That was a Thursday,
yeah, it was
right?
A Thursday, yeah.
And we're like, "How did it just become 2 a.m.?"
Yeah.
You know, like I swear to God, it was like we just walked up on here and. We're like, what do you mean it's last call? She's like, yeah, we can't serve after 9 o'clock here, but you can walk over.
Some places, right.
But you can walk over there, and you know you can drink till 11, or you can go over there, and you can drink till 2 a.m. And these are all like within a block.
It's just different establishments have different times.
It was weird. It was
wow. That is wild.
It depends on their licensing.
They had probably a license at a different time.
Yeah.
They got grandfathered into a different time.
Wow, that's pretty wild.
Yeah, it was.
So obviously any of the stuff we just said isn't the answer.
Nope.
No.
I still like taking your pet alligator for a walk after 6 o'clock is against the law. I don't know.
Got a lot of people quick on Google, I can tell you right now.
Quite possibly. Right. I mean, that's how I find them.
So, hey, everybody, make sure you check us out next week when we will have Tom Ritz on.
Yeah.
So we had to reschedule him, and we want to also make sure we thank Brian Fell for jumping in here real quick tonight and filling in for us. We appreciate that. But we'll have Tom on next week. you know, a lot of these tracks in the northern part of the country are starting to open up. So maybe he'd give us some little tips and tricks on, you know, prepping your track for this coming summer and all that kind of stuff, and go from there.
He will be live from Bogota, Colombia.
Whoa. International.
From Mitch Hohen's apartment.
Probably.
So that'll be cool. At least we were able to rework that around. So yeah. That's pretty cool.
You know, Evan Schaefer told me that the gas fumes in Bogota are so bad your eyes burn like in the middle of the day.
Gas.
Sounds horrible.
Yeah, like fumes, like gas fumes and stuff in the middle of the day.
You mean like the pollution in the air?
Yeah, like he said, it was just his eyes were burning the whole time he was there.
Huh. Wow.
Kind of weird.
Well,
I got some bad gas.
Yeah, I guess so.
Ha ha.
All right, we're going to go into our showcase segment, and we want to thank our friends at Answer BMX for bringing you the showcase segment. Chris, you want to let them know?
Okay, so the answer is Dirty Knobs Podcast.
No. Wait, no.
Oh, no, no, I'm sorry. I guess that wasn't good, was it? I was talking about Answer BMX parts, products, so I'm sorry.
We're just teasing you.
So Dirty Knobs Podcast, make sure you check these guys out. This is your podcast. It's hosted by Hollywood Mike Miranda, Eric Carter, James Vicente. Two of those guys we've had on the show. We still got to get Eric Carter on here and do his own little show and find out his whole backstory on the BMX thing. But these guys, you know, they talk to guys from back in the day. They tell stories from, you know, when they used to go on tour, all kinds. It's fun stuff. Especially for us old school guys, but the new school guys should listen to it too, because that's kind of where you're going to get some of your BMX history from. And this coming weekend, Temecula, California, they've got the Dirty Fest going on. It's a whole weekend vintage bike show, vintage racing. They have a big 80s party, I believe, on Saturday night. So if you go to dirtyknobs.com or dirtyfest.com, you can find out about that. There's places you can register, which they strongly recommend you do. If you're going out there and want to take part in any of the racing or the bike shows, any of that stuff, go to the website and get registered ahead of time, or you're going to be standing in a line that you're not going to believe. It's going to be like, it's going to be like registering for a national these days, where you stand in line forever. When you could have just pre-registered and walked up there like a boss. So
why people don't pre-register is beyond me. Yeah.
I do not understand that either.
Why they
Brian.
Don't just register? Registration's still open.
They pay with cash.
Yeah, that's true.
That would be the one part. Yeah,
that would be the only thing.
I was going to tell you, I just made some flags for Dirty Fest.
Yeah,
nice.
Some Dirty Knobs flags, and we made a canopy set up for CW bicycles.
Really?
About that.
Wow. Yeah.
What's cool is they'll probably be recording shows while they're there. They did that at Frogtown, and those are some really cool shows that they did while they were out there.
They get some of the old school guys out there. So if any of you guys have been to Frogtown, this is kind of the Southern California version of that out there. So go check that out. It's Temecula, California, Velocity Bike Park out there. So go check them out.
All right,
nice promo, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Hey. Nailed it.
And no script necessary.
Hey, and I didn't even mispronounce their names, I don't think. I guess it could have been Holly Weird Miranda.
You got some doozies in there tonight.
Yeah,
sure. I was typing them in, and I'm like, oh gosh.
Yeah.
All right, we next want to feature Mom's Talk BMX podcast. Their latest episode is titled Megan LaHue. The moms chat with her about how she balances everything with being a busy mom and all things BMX. I'm going to put the link in the chat. Go check these guys out. We love them. They're huge supporters of our show, and we like to give it right back.
And if you guys go back and look a few episodes ago, you'll find Justin and Melissa on there. Yes. I learned a few things I didn't know.
We didn't talk a ton of BMX. There's a lot of outside stuff.
Yeah. I know if you're on Justin's bad side, do not order a pizza from him. That's all I got to say.
True story. True story.
I'll sweep everything up on the floor and put it right in the sauce and take it right out to my ex-girlfriend's parents. Like, you enjoy that pizza. What was funny is we could see all the gals from the Mom's Talk show.
Right.
And it was like this.
True story.
Just jaws dropped.
Like, did he really just say what he just, what I think he said?
Yeah, for sure. I speak in another show that supports us, and we support them. It's our good friends over at the Beer Budget Show. It's BMX only, live streaming open forum discussion show that's brought to you each week, sometimes. Sometimes starts at 9, sometimes starts at 8, sometimes starts at 11, and it's brought to
or
you by...
Friday or Saturday.
Or Sunday.
That's why you got to sign up for their notifications.
That's right. Make sure you sign up for their notification, because sometimes they do Sunday service.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. They do the Sunday service show. And
I've missed that one.
They haven't. It's been a while, but they have done it.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, boy. And, man, that could be a whole new interesting thing going on there with those guys.
Yeah. It's typically like when they got some bunch of races going on and stuff, they'll do it then. They got a ton of topics to go over this week, and they're going to be coming in hotter than the porta potty at Rockford. And I'm talking on Sunday, not cleaned. No. District moms running amok out there. They're going to be coming in. They're going to be talking about Sea Otter, and probably talking a little bit about Dirty Fest because Dave's going to be there, so he can report back.
Yeah.
Make sure you guys join Thunder Midget and Homie Mike each and every week. And again, make sure you sign up, get the notifications. That's the best way to know when the show is going on the air.
Speaking of that, hey, if you're liking the show and that, give us a like down there in the little comment section.
First time to the show, absolutely.
Yeah. And make sure to subscribe and follow and all that stuff, because it does help us out, believe it or not. And it messes with the algorithm, which is cool. So, also we have our friend Mr. Joe Doherty over at BMX In Our Blood podcast. All right, so his newest episode is number 145, and he's visiting with Chelsea Wolf. Oh, it says revisited, so this must be like a part two.
Actually, she was his very first show that
ever
did. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
Yep.
Really.
So check him back. Checking back in with Chelsea Wolf.
Show number one.
She's from West Palm.
Yeah. It was like his first one he did was right when she was catching a whole ton of heat. And I'm like, oh, this will be a good show. And it was. And then I haven't had a chance. This has been sitting on there to listen to. So
yeah.
I'll probably give it a listen tomorrow.
Yeah. So you can go over. We'll put a link in the chat to Apple Podcasts. Actually, anywhere you download podcasts from, you can get a hold of BMX In Our Blood and tell Joe Doherty we said hi.
I forgot their picture.
Oh, bummer. Well, no big deal. All right. The second to last show we want to feature this evening is the guys we talked to last week. Shannon Polk and Everett Robinson from the Real BMX Racing, the podcast. It was a great conversation. These guys got caught up on all the things they do. Their newest episode is chatting with USA BMX Women's Pro. Hold on one second. Sorry. Lexi Colby. So I'm going to put that link in the chat too. So go check it out. Learn all about her story.
And our next show is the Texas BMX Show, hosted by Rusty Dial. He's talking all things tall tales, truth, lies, all from Texas and beyond. Make sure you guys check it out. He just got restarted and rebooted. And we're going to have him on the show in a couple of weeks.
Sweet.
All right, Chris, I'm going to take us out.
All right, last one, we're talking to Boss Man Racing. He's on vlog number 71. This is going to be opening day at Marysville BMX out over in Ohio. Is hosted by BMX expert cruiser rider Maurice Adams. So make sure you get a hold of him. He's talking about gym sessions, training, anything BMX. So go check him out. He does a great job. He edits this stuff together. He's on YouTube, and we'll put a link in our chat for that.
I like when he's walking around races and stuff.
Yeah. And he just talks to people in the pit area and stuff.
Yeah.
Because I like to look and see who's got what's set up and how the events, the footprint is and stuff like that too.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm always looking in the background of what he's doing.
Sure. See what's happening there. So yeah. If you have a show, you have a vlog, you have a zine, anything that's helping promote the sport of BMX and you want us to talk about it here, email us info@allthingsbmxshow.com or message us on Facebook or however you want to get it to us. Email is the best way, but we can do that as well. So shoot that over to us and we'll get it going. So Melissa, do you have a winner for your trivia yet?
I do.
You do?
Shockingly. Yeah.
What was this
answer? The fastest Google in town. So what can you not do on a Thursday night in Florida?
After 6 p.m.
After 6 p.m. You cannot fart. It is against the law.
So everybody in Florida, fart. Either by 5:59, get it out or... hang on to it till morning, I guess. I don't know
how this works. I don't know who's policing that per se, but
right.
I would not want that job.
I don't want to know the story behind how that becomes a law. Like what kind of
that would be interesting.
Incident or what kind of like aggressive flatulence is going on, generally speaking.
That Your Honor, I'm sick of the farting on Thursday nights right? after 6.
I mean, they had to have a city council meeting.
Yeah, because it's about farting in public.
To draft a bill up.
Yes.
To then make it
and
a
then
law.
Vote on it. Yes.
And say, no farting after yes. 6. On Thursday.
On Thursdays.
But it's only
know.
Thursday, right?
Right. So what happens Wednesday night?
I don't know.
So that everybody's like.
You're fine. That,
what, they're
processing.
Having
just
a lot
free
of...
flying. Let them go.
I mean, so shout out to Zach
put my
Goss.
Finger. Put my
yeah,
finger.
Right.
Put my finger.
Zach Goss and Robert Cardoza both had that.
They're the ones that won last week, too.
Correct.
We're just roll it over again.
Yeah. I mean, huge supporters of the show. I appreciate you guys like, playing along with my trivia.
Yeah.
I'll stack Zach's up and we'll just donate.
I actually have a huge pack for Zach already.
We'll just, we'll
like
just donate him.
Previous.
We'll just donate him to Richfield Park. He can give him away and his up. His name, and they can make him
do like
prizes.
Mystery motos yeah. and stuff with him. Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Speaking of Marysville, I wanted to because I saw this today on social media. So Mo Collins was racing out there. He's the one half of BMX Rocks Photography. He took a crash out there, put him in the hospital for a couple days, and he made a comment on social media on how he's so lucky, grateful that he took out spot insurance.
Oh, yes, I saw that.
How much that's going to help him with the extra bills and stuff like that from that crash.
Yeah, this is the insurance you can purchase through USA BMX.
Yeah.
And
because it's like a gap, right?
Yes.
So it's just like little extra stuff to help you take care of from being off work. And
yeah.
Yeah. So
what I was reading into his post was he didn't buy the one weekend event.
No, he bought the year one.
He bought the year package. And I think he said something about $2,500 was covered by this insurance. Or I might be wrong about that. I shouldn't even have said that because I don't.
He's in the chat.
I'm saying
it was a lot of money that was taken care of.
Check it out because
do your homework.
Mo's crash was wicked. He had a collapsed lung, some broken ribs, and for him to say like he's
Zach said he used it too when he
when he broke his leg at Richfield.
Yeah,
like. Man, it made me think about that right then and there. I was like, man, I gotta check this out. I think he said it was, I thought he said it was $25. Don't hold me to it. But, man, definitely you racers that are still listening, go do yourself a favor.
Go do your homework. Check that out.
Yep. So he said, right, what did he say?
It covers you at any sanctioned race or practice, $25,000 in coverage.
Oh. Yeah, that's a little different than $2,500.
$125 for the year is what Sean thinks it is.
That's...
He said 75 for a year. All right, so somewhere in between 75 and 125.
Go to usabmx.com and
point,
search.
Point is, man,
just check
$125 bucks, well worth it.
You cannot be, there's no such thing as being overinsured.
Yeah.
Working now, in healthcare, there is no such thing as being overinsured. Right.
Now, the only thing to that is you have to be injured at a USA BMX sanctioned
event.
Bro,
I don't. You know what, dude? If I fell, I'd just wait a day and take my ass back to the track the next day.
I feel like
be out there like not saying nothing. Like, how you feeling, Justin? Shut up. Like broken ribs, arms sticking the other way.
That might be part of the broken healthcare system that we're kind of talking about.
Technically,
a little
bit. That
Justin,
would be...
why is your arm pointed the other way? You didn't see that.
Speaking
that
of turning the other way,
fraud.
did you notice that we've crossed the year anniversary since Nick?
Oh, I saw
wrecked
that.
His foot. Oh, God. And twisted it 180. Yes. Go check out the photos. He reposted them. It's pretty intense.
Go to Nick Long's social media, Instagram or Facebook. It's on there, man. Oh, that is some
worst
nasty looking stuff
I've seen
right
it
there.
A long time, yeah.
It's so gnarly.
It's very. That's a good word for it. And I see a lot of shit. That's just crazy. You ready, Chris?
Hey,
yeah,
I
just looked at the first two names and I went, oh, no.
Oh, boy. All right. On to our next segment. One of the most anticipated segments we have in the show, ladies and gentlemen. It's brought to you by our good friends over at On Two Wheels. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for birthday names.
All
Chris, take it away.
Okay. So, yeah. Brought to you by On Two Wheels. Make sure you check them out the next big race you're at. Bright orange canopies. On Two Wheels. All right. So, if you're celebrating your birthday this week, you're celebrating with Chad Chapman, Christopher Worthington, Chris Thibault. I always say that wrong. It's Thibault.
Thibault.
Silent H. Yeah. So happy birthday, Chris. He's a good dude. I see him at the track all the time up here in Michigan. Krupp Carter, Jan Shippers.
Jan Shippers.
No, Jan. J-A-N.
It's Jan.
Jan.
Oh, come on.
I mean, you're right. It reads Jan.
It does.
If you're an American, but.
He's Dutch.
Oh, Jan he's Dutch. Shippers.
And you didn't
know
that.
No, he is. I promise you.
No, yeah. That's.
Yeah. Okay. I'll take your word for it because I don't know the person myself. So.
And of course, Justin didn't write it phonetically.
I didn't even know how to find the little thing to put above the A.
Oh, fair. Yeah,
that wouldn't have helped. That wouldn't have helped me.
I was like, that might have. And then, no. No. It wouldn't have mattered.
It wouldn't matter. It's on the cue card. He just reads it. let's see. So happy birthday, Jan, John, Jean, Jan, whatever. Thomas Hamby. Chelsea, oh boy, I don't even know how to do this.
Imagine if there was a J there.
John?
So take out the J and put it in an S.
Son?
Hey!
Coaching tips from Brian Fell.
Brian Fell's helping me out here. Let's see here. Jackie Chan. I don't know if that's the actor.
That's the guy that makes frames.
Oh, he's the frame guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep, yep, yep. All right. All right. Ubo Wagon. Huh?
Crooked ass frame. pieces of shit.
20 sometimes, in the back, 24 in the front.
Yep. Sometimes you get a 20-inch frame on the back of a cruiser bike.
That's not...
It's not wrong.
Allegedly.
Not allegedly not my ass.
No, it's not.
I still got the frame in the other room.
We can bring it out and put it on display.
One of them fucking lowriders, man.
I don't even have a clue on. All right. Ludovic Andre. How's that?
Where are you at?
You missed one.
You did Udo Wagner?
Yes, I did that one.
Holden Hiscock?
Oh, I missed that one. I did.
I had to say that one.
That's why I love you, Melissa.
That's why I was glad he skipped it. I'm like, sweet, I get to say it.
Uh, Thank you, Melissa.
You're welcome.
Thank you for the recommendation, Sean Gifford.
Taking one for the team.
What?
Sean sent
Sean,
that to me.
I still said it funny. He's like, damn it, Melissa.
That was a recommendation from Sean.
Oh, yeah, I would have screwed that up. Okay, so I did. All right, so I'm at Autumn Kutzel. My goodness.
We had her. Ned's birthday was here a little while ago.
I remember now that you're saying that. Yeah. Rich Branham. I don't know who in the world this next guy is. Okay. Actually, he's the sponsor of our, Newsmaker segment. Answer BMX and S-Squared, Mr. John Sawyer's celebrating birthday this week. Michael LaBuga?
Yeah, okay. I don't know.
All right. Riley Baumgartner.
Right on.
Hey, I got one right. I think it's a first one other than John Sawyer. I haven't screwed up. Ryan. I don't know this one either. Cray? I don't know that one. Dijon Pascal. Robert DeWild. Dakota Norton. Paul DePaul. Is that kind of like Petey Peters, Paul DePaul?
Yeah, a little bit.
Douglas Silva and Matt Chisholm.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. And those are your birthdays.
Holy smokes. There's a few in that
Chisholm,
one.
Bruh.
Hey, Brian, we're going to toss it over to you for any thanks or shout outs. What?
Never mind.
You sure?
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, okay. All right. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, I just want to thank everybody for listening. Thanks for being part of the show. I'm glad I'm in front of the camera, not like in the background, in the way back. I like to be a part of it sometimes. So, had a good time. Hope everybody else had a good time. Hope everybody had a good listen. Yeah. Reach out to us about the MTBSX. Reach out to us at megadesigngroup.com. You need canopies made, you need table covers made, any kind of stuff like that, some artwork, some autograph cards, some anything, menus, any kind of print work, we do it. So reach out, we can get it done for you. Thank you very much.
All right. Or if you need you want a branded pop-up, you got a particular bike brand or team you're interested in, get a hold of Brian through brandedpopups.com. Get that ATB canopy, your pit set up.
Oh, Billy says he needs another one, Brian.
Come on, let's do it.
And Mo said he was going to get one.
Billy needs an all things BMX show canopy. All right.
It's amazing to me. It's like a restaurant. You know, you have a restaurant and there's not like 200 people going to the restaurant at one time. You know, like it's steady. It's, you know, you got a steady flow of customers coming in and out.
That's good.
Right. And I'm very fortunate that's what it's been with us.
That's
with
good.
Mega.
Yeah.
You know, it's just been, you know, you think what's going to happen and all of a sudden three jobs come in.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, that's great.
It's great. You know, it just blows my mind that like I don't get 20 jobs and then like nothing for a month, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. You know, and I guess we should say these canopies that Brian does, the frames on these things are super nice. They're solid. They're not these square tubes. They're like octagon shaped, I guess you'd say.
No, they're hex shaped. They're 40 millimeter hex.
Yeah. I mean, these things are solid. They are good quality stuff. I mean, you know, some of you bigger, even the factory teams and that, you got all these, you know, these guys show up at a national and they got 10, you know, pop-ups in a row. Go check out these canopies from Mega Design. They're good quality stuff. I'm impressed with it.
So. And thank you. But for some of the boat guys, we've been doing 50 millimeter hex legs. So the tent's a little bit heavier because they're on the ocean, and it's really breezy on the ocean, so it helps hold the tent down a little bit more.
Oh, you're talking about like power race boats.
Offshore powerboat racing.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
There you go.
Dude, they're just so cool to be around. The motors and stuff and like these power boats, and they're pretty sick.
Shoot. All right. Okay.
Go ahead, Chris.
All right. So again, everybody, thanks for joining us tonight. Brian, thank you for jumping in here last minute. We appreciate it. And thanks everybody for coming. Let's see. Live stream version of our show is brought to you by what we just talked about, Mega Design Group. So get a hold of them. Also, our podcast version of the show is brought to you by Die Job Apparel. So if you're looking for some t-shirts or, gosh, like I said earlier, a cup with your logo on it, something, get a hold of Sean Gifford at Die Job Apparel. He does race jerseys. He made a few jerseys for us, all things BMX show jerseys that, we wear. So go check that out. And
give him something hard to do.
Yeah, give him a challenge. Crazy graphics on there. Yeah, the more complicated, the better. And if they get real tricky, get a hold of Gate 9 Custom Number Plates. He loves to design jerseys as well. And he'll send them to Sean. Have them printed for you. I'm kidding. So make sure you join us next week. Our guest will be Tom Ritz. If you tuned in this week to see Tom, come back next week. Give us a like, subscribe, share, let all your friends know about us. We'll see you next week. Have a great week, everybody. God bless you. Take care.
Good night. God bless. And you guys stay classy.